In our ongoing study, we have been noting the doctrine that Jesus Christ controls history. We've noted several paragraphs in that study, and we're at paragraph 6 at the moment. Jesus Christ controls history through the preservation of the universe. And a time caught us, I think it was Wednesday, before we could finish that paragraph, so a little bit of review is probably necessary. We didn't have class on Thursday. Several months ago, I promised good friends up in South Dakota that I would do the ceremony for their daughter's wedding. Many of you know the Risty family. They have a ranch up there where they raise Arabians, and I was able to tour it for the first time in 24 years. I had no recall of all that I had seen at that time because it was filled with about 18 feet of snow, and I just thought white was the favorite color. And it was horrible for me. It was a terrible experience. I dang near froze to death and swore I'd never go back unless maybe it was summer. So fall would do. Wonderful, beautiful weather. I got to tour the ranch and see all the horses and the goats and the chickens and the cats and the dogs and all that they have out there. It's much like a petting zoo. And I didn't get to ride a horse, although they threatened me that I might have to. And I remain uninjured as a result of that failure. So nevertheless, we went to a pit that they have there on the property where they shoot rifles and handguns. And so I wasted a lot of ammunition. And if the ground was a target, then I was the best shot. Anyhow, it was their wonderful family. I enjoyed being with them. Their sons came in from all over the country. Jamie came in from Oregon and Spencer from California and Tyler from Virginia. And, of course, the girls live there in Sioux Falls. I married Sandra to a young man named Ryan, and they have kicked off their wedded bliss now, and so we wish them all the best from the grace of God. In our study, resuming now with paragraph 6, Jesus Christ controls history through the preservation of the universe. We noted that the Bible gives us a declarative statement in Genesis 1:1 that God created the universe. There was no need for a big bang. The Bible tells us He spoke it into existence. And then we find out which member of the Trinity was responsible for this creation in Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17. And further proof that the physical laws that hold this universe together post-creation were invented and put in place by Jesus Christ at the time of the creation. Hebrews 1, verses 3 and 10. Now, this universe is not permanent. I find it interesting to read heathen literature. I bought Science Illustrated at an airport and read it on the way back home in the many flights I took all across this land just getting back to St. Louis. And so there's plenty of time to read. And they've come up with this idea that the universe is eternal. God is not, but the universe is. So that, I thought that was an interesting twist on heathenism right there. But nevertheless, you can go to 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 13, and discover that Jesus Christ intends to destroy it, lock, stock, and barrel, nothing left of it, but your soul and the doctrine in it. That is the only thing that survives this universe. Then He will create a new heavens and a new earth, as noted in verse 13. Now, we came to this conclusion after we'd noted those several verses. If Jesus Christ created the universe, and we have observed that He did, if the rapture of the church is imminent, and it is, if the tribulation is prophesied to last 7 years, and it is, and if the Lord's millennial kingdom is prophesied to last for 1,000 years, then it follows that the earth and the universe will continue on a steady course for at least 1,007 more years, and maybe a second or two. It could happen right now. It could wait another 1,000 years. But this earth and its material blessings are sufficient to sustain the human race for more than 1,000 years as we speak. And that prophecy continues on unabated until the rapture of the church, which signals a time clock that will begin to move, where this universe has 1,007 years left to go. So, when the rapture occurs and you're at the evaluation tribunal of Christ, and things are going on here on planet Earth, hell is breaking out, literally, you will be advised in heaven some of these very intricate details of all of this. For when we get to heaven, we will have a knowledge that far exceeds what we're able to acquire here with our pitiful little brains. Now, this knowledge provides the believer with tranquility of soul. This theology provides tranquility of soul in a period of our nation's history where a lot of people are extremely worried. Are you worried? Are you worried that you don't have any whatever it was you invested in about a month or so ago? And if so, why? Do you not believe that the grace pipeline is open for you, but that suddenly stupid decisions made by this stupid government and the stupid people that run it, that somehow their decisions can trump the grace pipeline? Can't do it. You won't be eating fillets. Probably be Spam or something like that. But you will have food. You will have clothing, and you'll have shelter. Now, the clothing may be out of flour sacks. My mother told me when I was little that during the Depression that her mother made her dresses and her brother's shirts out of flour sacks. And I remember flour sacks that were made out of a material that had these little designs on them. And when you got all of the flour out of the sack, the mothers then would make clothing out of that. So you might keep that in mind. Where can I go to get clothes? Buy flour, eat it, and then use the sack. Grace pipeline. Jesus Christ will sustain this earth, which contains a sufficient supply of logistics to meet the needs of the human race for the next 1,007 years. We have people on this planet and in this country that cannot evaluate circumstances from a biblical worldview. These people have chosen to place themselves in a mental environment where they must depend on human viewpoint to evaluate every exigency they face. And as a result of being bound by human viewpoint, when things don't go as well as they think they should, or even turn tragic in their view, they have nothing but human viewpoint problem-solving devices. And there is a problem emerging in our country. Knowledge provides the believer with tranquility of soul in the face of alleged problems that are being used to propagandize the masses who cannot evaluate the information from a biblical worldview. This has been going on for at least 40 years. There is an emerging population in this country, those who are graduating from high school, and I'm casting no aspersions upon those who are seniors or have just graduated, not in this church. But there's a huge number of graduating seniors, those who are in college, and those who are now eligible to vote. They do not realize, having been born approximately 20 years ago, which makes it 1988, they do not realize that that was the midst of a great wave of propaganda that was passed along to them by our national schools. And this propaganda is a progressive worldview that takes God out of the discussion. And therefore, these young people have no idea what kind of damage has been done to their souls and their thought process. They now vote. And every year, a new batch of 18-year-olds are dumped into the population. Now, you know, you say, well, what is that to you, buddy? Well, I'm just pointing out to you why things are the way they are. Why is it that people do not have biblical problem-solving devices? Why is it they must turn to human viewpoint? They have been taught to look to man for solutions. Cursed is the man who puts his trust in man. Cursed is the man who does that. And from our biblical worldview, we can say that these people have been cursed by a degenerate leadership in this country that has foisted upon them information that robs the idea of a biblical worldview, suppresses it, denounces it, makes fun of it, and scoffs it. And therefore, there is no tranquility of soul to be found in times of economic downturn that we now face. And the young people don't have a clue what's on the horizon. They think everything's just going to continue to be okay. You can't do these kinds of things in a client nation and expect Jesus Christ not to control history in a very serious way in order to restore order to the people who survive it. That's why we meet here. And again, I reiterate what I said during the dedication. There are empty seats in this congregation. The people who are not here today had best be on the internet. They cannot afford to opt out of Bible classes now. It is too late for that. Whatever trumps Bible class has got to stop. And I will reiterate these things probably by the second session. Let me tell you what we have plenty of, in case you'd missed it. That 1,007 years, the human race will continue right down to the very end. There is plenty of oil. There's plenty of coal. There's plenty of natural gas. Plenty of nuclear power to provide us the energy we need to operate industrialized economies. This did not catch the God of the universe by surprise. He is not stumped by this. In His divine decree, as He looked into human history with His omniscience, at a certain point when the Industrial Revolution began, He said, "You know, this confuses me. I wasn't aware that the human mind could go this far. I don't know what to do." So they're just going to have to work it out on their own. But it's going to take a lot of fuel to run an industrialized society. And I don't remember whether or not I gave them the resources to do this. But maybe they can figure it out. All will be fine. Life will go on for the human race. And the Word of God will prosper somewhere on this earth in every generation until the Lord destroys this universe. So we're not going to die because it's too hot or too cold. I can tell you it can get too cold for me, but so far I haven't died. We're therefore to relax and enjoy life and concentrate on growing in grace. That's your primary duty. It is priority one. You should know that our destiny is set and our future is secure for both time and eternity. Secure for time and eternity. There's nothing to worry about. You're in God's grace. You're in His protective care. A grace pipeline is attached to your imputed righteousness. There is nothing to worry about. Except one thing. The one thing you can worry about is your inability to stay in fellowship. Paragraph 7. Jesus Christ controls history based on the spiritual status of a client nation's believers. Here's the problem, and you're part of it. Can you stay in fellowship? Prosperity causes people to be distracted. Prosperity enables people to slough things off and to get very self-centered. It is not a time to be self-centered. Bible doctrine should remove that curse from you. People who are self-centered constantly sin without admitting it. Therefore, those who are extremely self-centered are obviously arrogant. And arrogance always self-justifies. He controls history based on the status of the client nation's inventory in the souls of its believers. In human history, the sovereignty of God and the free will of man must coexist by divine decree. It is God's decree that human free will be involved in what goes on in the human race. We are set free to make our own decisions, and we can be blessed by them or we can be cursed. And the reason you come here is not for me to tell you what sweet people you are. You're not. You're slug slime. And you know that. If you're honest, look in the mirror today, and all you see is a glob of goo, if you're honest. But most of you think how pretty I am, how handsome I am, and I just know people are really impressed with me, and I'm spiritual king of the mountain, and I know Obadiah's grandmother's name. And there's no sword drill around here. No sword drills. The issue is doctrine, not what verse you can remember. Can you think on a spiritual plane? Can you stay in fellowship? Can you avoid the tragedies that come from arrogance? For in this segment of our study that Jesus Christ controls history, we're going to note the spiritual status of a client nation is the important thing. Now, I was in the company of Tyler Risty over the weekend and asked him why he couldn't stay longer, and he said I had to go back to work. And I said, this defending the nation and its freedom is really a hard job, isn't it? It seemed like you're working all the time. And he just laughed. But you ask him what he's about to do and where he's about to go, he just smiles. So what he has to do to keep your spotted bottoms free, he can't even talk about. Client nations exist throughout the church age, and during the course of each one's history, it experiences historical uptrends and downtrends. It's an ebb and a flow, guys. There's highs and lows. I've come to understand from the very learned counseling of one of our members that the Fibonacci sequence is even involved in all of this. Human thought processes follow the Fibonacci sequence. And we've had uptrends, and we're now having downtrends. And you're part of it. What is it? What is the corrective concept that's infused into that Fibonacci sequence? It is the thought process of the body of believers in a client nation. Jesus Christ inventories your soul on a daily basis and determines whether or not he is going to permit a downtrend or an uptrend. And this segment will clarify that. All aspects of a client nation's zeitgeist are affected by the status of its resident believers, and that includes you. Now, if we're in a downturn, I want you to look in the mirror and say you are one of the guilty parties. It is not the heathen that are the problem. It is the fact there's a loss of biblical thought in the country, and you are responsible for acquiring that. So who is responsible for an historical downtrend in a client nation? I'm telling you, it is you. You are among those who are responsible. The nation is spotted. The escutcheon of a client nation is spotted, and it is also discredited by the fact that there are believers in this country who will refuse to grow in grace, refuse to do so. And it shows. If the doctrinal inventory is large and advancing, the zeitgeist will reflect increasing order and tranquility. If the inventory is small and regressive, it will reflect increasing disorder and turbulence. Where are we? Are we enjoying, as we speak, order and tranquility? Well, I think we are, to a great degree by comparison to all of the other never-to-be-developed countries around this world that we're told are just as good as ours. It is impossible for a client nation to be equal to or worse than another country. The thing that signifies a client nation is that is where the majority of the believers at that moment in history reside. This is the hallowed ground because it was founded by men who were believers and sustained by those who followed them that were believers, and currently is held together by those who are believers, but things are beginning to come unwound. Who's responsible for that? Believers and believers only. Why are they heathen? Because there was a failure of evangelism. Why are they heathen? Because we allowed heathenistic progressive concepts to be infused into our way of governing ourselves. We have outlawed the Word of God. We can speak of it here, but don't you dare go down to the street corner and start talking. Somebody will have you hush. This did not used to be the case. Why do we have prosperity in a country like this? It's not because we're pretty or smart. It's because of what's in the souls of a huge inventory of individuals that Jesus Christ, therefore, is obligated to bless. And when that number shrinks, he's no longer obligated. And it doesn't matter what breed of cat you are, what corner of the world you come from, if you get the Word of God in your soul, you and that geographic location will be blessed. And if it's not, then you won't. Therefore, as goes the believer, so glows the client nation. Its economy it's culture, it's government, it's law enforcement, it's jurisprudence, it's education, arts, music, entertainment, and social life. And all of that is going down the tubes. All of it. Show me any of this that is uplifting. Show me anything that feeds the soul out of all of that. Zeitgeist is a German word that has been adopted into English and means literally the spirit of the times. It's a way by which one might judge the status quo of a nation at any given point in history. And so it means the general intellectual, moral, and cultural climate of an era. The general intellectual climate. What is our intellectual climate? I think we've raised a nation of doofi. And there's no question of that. They're doofuses. And I'm not being critical. It's not their fault. It's not their fault that they've been put into a system whereby they have been dumbed down to doofi. Yet, they make A's. Because you lower the standard so everybody's equal, and therefore the A's are equivalent to my previous D's. I could be an A student now. And I want you to know I'm getting ticked off about it. I mean, we got a bell curve that's flattened out. This is a bell curve now. That's the bell curve, and I'm on that baby right there. No, not back in my day. No, they had a bell curve that looked like this, and you know who was down here all the time. And you know who was, I guess it must have been right along there. That's where I live. That's where I lived right there. And I had to live there because these people over here were 100 every test. And what does that do to a person's self-esteem? Well, I didn't have any self-esteem. And they weren't worried about the fact I didn't have any self-esteem. They didn't put me in self-esteem booster classes or anything. Feel better about yourself. One of these days we'll flatten this curve out for you, son, and you'll feel better. Well, here we are. And I do feel better that I'm as smart as the rest of them now. The up or down trends of a client nation are therefore dependent upon the spiritual inventories of its believers, whether they're collectively strong and enlarging or weak and diminishing. I say we're weak and diminishing. I'm saying we don't have as many solid, hardcore, doctrinal believers in this country who have a biblical worldview and have problem-solving devices that they can use for every exigency in life. That is shrinking. It's weak. It's diminishing. And Jesus Christ controls a client nation's history based on the inventory of doctrinal ideas circulating in the streams of consciousness of its believers. Now look at Revelation 2:23. We've noted it several times in the past. And this is Jesus Christ speaking. It's in red ink if you have that kind of Bible. I am he who constantly inventories. Now, why do I say to you he pulls an inventory every day? Because right here we see the corrected translation, observing the Greek grammar, is constantly inventories. It is a retroactive, progressive present of uranao. And uranao, that which has begun in the past and continues into the present. And so his inventories began in the past, they continue to the present day. And therefore, it can be also called a present of duration. So when did he start pulling these inventories? Well, he started pulling the inventories at Pentecost. That's the birthday of the church. And so he began to pull an inventory on a daily basis. The inventory was so strong that it was able to defeat one of the biggest cults in the first century and the one that followed. The temple and the worship of Artemis, which we've noted. That was the big religion then. And Paul goes into Ephesus and spends 2 years, and he begins a wave of positive volition, the inculcation of biblical thought, so that by the third century, Artemis and the worship of her was past history. The impact of the Word of God destroyed idolatry in that area. And in the fifth century, the Roman Empire was gone. Although it was a client nation, they failed, by the way, to manage their northern borders. When the Goths came across, they did not seek to assimilate them. And therefore they felt, the Goths did, felt they were not being treated fairly by the Romans. And they weren't. And they therefore decided to take it over, and they did. And Alaric started that deal, but that's another story. But nevertheless, when did the inventory start? It started here in the first century. And there have been ebbs and flows. There have been several client nations throughout the history of the church age. But it has moved consistently westward. Why is that? When Paul crossed the Hellespont and went to Philippi and began to teach the gospel there, and there was a response to it, then you have positive volition being indicated in the West, whereas Peter and James were in the East ministering to the Jews. And the Jews said, nah, don't think so. So what's happened to the East? The East is nothing but a sandpile filled with heathen and strange and weird and violent religions. Where is it that the pivot went? It somehow went west for one reason and one reason only. Positive volition of those who heard the gospel and then studied the Word of God. Made it all the way to England. Client nation England. Union Jack flew all around the world. The issue with the Brits is that they understood the issue of developing, prospering nations through the inculcation of biblical truth. They went to India, as they called it, and had great impact down there. And then, of course, religion forced them out. And they went into Africa. They had great influence down there, and religion forced them out. They went to several areas in the Far East and made significant progress there, but religion forced them out. Negative volition always breeds a society that is involved in historical downtrends. What is it that provides prosperity? It is the Word of God in the souls of believers. And without that, there is nothing but chaos, there is distress, there is turmoil, and there is worry. For no one knows how to handle the devil's world, for Lucifer manages this outfit, and he is out to kill you. And without the Word of God, you are going to run into exigencies, problems, difficulties you cannot manage in your soul because you do not have a biblical worldview. It will eat your lunch. I am he who constantly inventories the emotions and the stream of consciousness, and I will impose punishment to each one of you according to your production in the cosmic system. Now look what's being inventoried here. We have emotions being inventoried, and we have the stream of consciousness being inventoried. And over here you have the cardia. K-A-R-D-I-A. Over here, you have the reins. That's the Old Testament word for it. It has to do with the kidneys. And before the vocabulary, medical vocabulary, was developed, how was it that the biblical writers described emotion? They used the kidney. And therefore, this is emotion. Now, you can function on emotion, or you can function on Bible doctrine, the Word of God. And when he inventories, what's he inventorying? What's your thought process? Are you led by emotion? Are you led by biblical thought? That's the question each morning. He delves into your soul inventory and sees what's there. What's leading you today? Are you all tied up in emotion? Or are you tied up in the Word of God? How do you think? I'm he who constantly inventories the emotions and the stream of consciousness, the cardia, and I will impose punishment on each one of you according to your production from the cosmic system. Now, when believers get out of whack, and enough believers get under this punishment clause, then you have historical downtrends. Now, if you believe, as I am teaching you, that Jesus Christ controls history, and he does, then his plan includes the resident doctrine in the souls of believers in a client nation. You have responsibilities, and many of you are flagging in those responsibilities. And there's a lot of empty chairs that are being flagged today. They better be on the internet. Well, this means that the true patriots of a client nation are those believers who continue to pursue truth. No matter what the circumstance, these believers must make Bible doctrine priority one. I submit to you that's not happening. Now look, I'm paid to do this. I've been here almost 24 years. I've taught this over and over in times of prosperity. So you got to know it doesn't matter to me what you think of this. You will come to rue the day that you have chosen to function in the cosmic system with a cosmic worldview rather than put Bible doctrine priority one in your life. You are personally responsible for what is going on in this country. Not the heathen, not the Democrats, not the Republicans, not the Independents, not the Libertarians, not the Moose Lodge. It is you. Therefore, the spiritual status of a client nation can be discerned by the dominant worldview of its citizens. And when believers have a cosmic worldview, that is not a good sign. And churches are filled with cosmic thinkers today. One of the things Rick and I talked about when he was here, he constantly runs into this on the road. You don't run into it here. This is one thing you've got. But on the road, he discovers that it is rare for someone to understand the spiritual life. They don't know how to be spiritual. They have no clue how to be spiritual. By and large, there are exceptions, obviously. So how do you live the spiritual life? How is that done? Do you know? First of all, you got to be saved, faith alone in Christ alone. And after that, you got to get in fellowship. You always got the top circle. That's eternal security. Bottom circle down here is filling of the Holy Spirit. How do you lose the filling of the Spirit? Well, you do what you like to do. You sin. Professional sinners, by the way. Professional sinners. And then when you sin, you get out here in the void. And then the question is asked, what do I need to confess today? Actually, nothing. I think I'm just doing fine. I've done nothing wrong. I've thought no ill thoughts. I'm not self-centered. I'm not arrogant. I'm really a lovely person. And I just think I don't need any 1 John 1:9 today. I feel great about this. And other people think I'm good too. So there, and then, all right. And then you even confess. All right, there must be something, so I confess. You always confess arrogance, by the way. That's the first thing you confess. Because everything else stems off of that. And so you get back in here and you have the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then as soon as you get done, you're real relaxed with yourself. I'm cleared the decks for the day. And 5 minutes later, arrogance. And this is where you live. If there are historical uptrends in evidence, then it means the collective doctrinal inventory of the nation's believers enables the Lord to control history so that general prosperity is enjoyed by all. That's historical impact. That's blessing by association. The reason a client nation is blessed is because believers are making the advance. Phenomenal blessing by association to everybody in this country. There are kings who would be jealous of what the politicians are telling us are poor. And of course, everybody's got their own definition of poor, depending on how bad you make your opponent look. But my opponent says the poor are those that make less than $100,000. I say the poor are those who make less than $50,000. And the other guy says, well, I say $30,000. The other guy, I say $20,000. The other guy, I say those that owe $100,000. They owe the money. That's the poor. Well, there's a lot of poor around now because a lot of people used to have money, don't have any. There are people around this world and kings of the ancient past would consider themselves to have died and gone to heaven just to live here. Water runs out of a pipe. You have indoor plumbing. You have grocery stores with food up on the front shelf. You have chariots that can go well over 100 miles an hour without horses. You have widescreen HD TV. The things you have would render kings of the past slack-jawed. They think they were having a vision. If there are historical downtrends in evidence, then it means the collective doctrinal inventory of the nation's believers requires the Lord to control history so that general recession is suffered by all. Everybody suffers. And through it all, the mature believer is sustained and is able to ride out the resultant upheaval that is administered by the cycles of discipline. So you better get in the system, for you will be protected if you are an advancing believer. Now let's note some conclusions on this. This is paragraph 7. I note by my time clock here that we're right on the verge of a break. So this is a good place to stop. It would put us back here at approximately 15 minutes till the hour. So let's break at this point, and when we come back, we'll note paragraph 7, the conclusion to this study of Jesus Christ controls history.